Well, I desire an interest in your prayers again this afternoon as we look into the Word. And it is important for us, and if we're not careful, I think we can take it for granted sometimes, but it is the Word of God, and we're not interested in promoting or building up man's ideas, man's ways, but we want to see what the Word of God says, because these are the words of life. And when we allow the Word of God and we accept it and we open up our hearts to the Word of God, it will do something good in our life. So we don't need to ever be afraid or gun shy, if you will, of the Word of God, because it will work something good. If you will turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, in verse 15, it says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." Now there is a lot in that script, in that passage, but as we continue with call to follow, it said, as Jesus was holy, he's the one that's called us, and he lived a holy life, and he said, so you should be holy too. Not just in one area of life. There are some areas, and I'm going to quote Brother Cook here. I remember him testifying about something. He said, I don't know that I'll get any stars on my crown for this one. In other words, it was something that came natural to him that coincided with what the Bible teaches, so there was no sacrifice involved. But what his point was, that when we sacrifice for something and we yield ourselves, when something is contrary to what we want, that's when we get a star in our crown, in other words. Holiness for all of us, there are some areas probably in all of our life that it's easy to be holy. In other words, there are some areas of life that I don't struggle with that. Some people, they're maybe very, just naturally very mild-mannered, for example. Just very mild, and maybe you could poke them all day long and they just have patience and just plod along. And that's not grace, that's just their personality. The grace is when you want to respond to that prodding, and the Lord gives you grace to just humble your heart and overcome those natural feelings. Well, all of us have struggles in some area or another. When the Scripture says, be holy in all manner of conversation, he was talking about the whole man. He was talking about the inside, and he was talking about the outside. He was talking about every decision, every choice in young people, and it's not just you young people, it's all of us, but I want to encourage you, ask yourself when you're making decisions, the things you listen to, the places you go, the things you establish in your life, is this holy? Is it pure? Is this something that if I follow this path, is it going to draw me closer to the Lord, or is it something that after I'm done with it? And there are things all of us can probably say that we did things that weren't sin, but afterward you were just left with this uncomfortable feeling, and maybe you would have been a little uncomfortable if someone else would have showed up that you knew, because or heard what you heard or something, just because you thought, you know, it's not real conducive to godliness. That doesn't mean we have sinned, but it means if we will allow that to help guide our future decisions. When I do that, I get lean in my soul, so then I don't want to do that tomorrow. And that's what part of our relationship with God comes down to. It's not about the preacher using the word, dictating crossing every T in your life and dotting all of your I's. But it's about our personal walk with God, with that desire that, Lord, in following you, there are sometimes it's a little difficult to follow you. And then I have to say, what decisions have I been making? What have I been doing that could possibly be affecting my relationship with God? And I believe that is part of what comes into play when the Scripture says perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It means we keep that sensitivity to our relationship with the Lord. So, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In Sunday school this morning, young people, we had a lesson about that was actually in the lesson book that Sister Angela puts out. It was more geared to young people this quarter, and there's a lesson in there I thought would be good for the young people, so we talked about that. He was talking about our identity or self-expression. And we looked at what the Bible taught, even about the outward man, things people do to express themselves. And all of us are unique. We all don't like the same colors. We may not all like the same kind of shoe. That's okay. It's okay for us to be different. But in our personal choices, we want them to be in conformity to what the Bible teaches, which is simplicity, modesty, humility, and anything that would be contrary to that means that we need to submit to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to do it the way you taught me. In all manner of conversation, holiness is a condition of heart. But if it's in the heart, it should come out in the fruit of the decisions that we're making in our life. So be ye holy. And do you know that is a full-time job? It's a full-time job. It is a daily thing that, Lord, help me today to follow you in holiness as you are holy. Because saints, without holiness, the scripture says no man shall what? See the Lord. So if we begin to justify or excuse things that are not holy, that are not going to take us closer to the Lord, the consequence is we are going to end up being blinded, not able to see the Lord in this life or in the life to come. So that means that we need to be, in some sense, and some of y'all know a lot more about horses than I do. Told Brother Rand, your sister Tammy the other day, I read a little bit about chickens and taking care of them because we're thinking about possibly doing some things in Kenny, but I said, I could read all I want, but you put me around a chicken, I don't have any practical experience and know very little. It's just what you read in a book. Do you know that, I don't know a lot about horses, but sometimes you see horses and they put blinders on those horses. Do you know, to my knowledge or understanding, you're not putting blinders on a horse to prevent them from just enjoying life. It's so they cannot be distracted from the things that are going to hinder them from doing their job. Is that a decent enough summary? Sometimes we need to put blinders on, folks. It's not that God is trying to put any of us in a straitjacket. But if I recognize when I'm following the Lord and there's some distractions over here, sometimes I need to put some blinders on so I can focus on the Lord and not get distracted from the things that could end up being dangerous to me. You see horses going down a busy street and they're pulling something, they put blinders on them, pulling a carriage down the road because of all the traffic and all the congestion. They don't want the horses to get scared. They don't want them to get afraid and they want to help them to stay calm. And so they block out some of those distractions. Spiritually, there are a lot of things in our world that are distracting us from following the Lord. And I don't know what your distractions are. I know what some of them are because they're common to all of us. But we want to follow the Lord so closely that when someone said, well, the saints are just narrow-minded. No, the saints are not narrow-minded. We ought to be a focused people. It's not that we don't know what's going on over there, but I don't want a part of what's going on there. So of my own volition, not because the church told me I had to, not because a preacher somewhere said you have to do this or else, but I want to put a blinder on from this activity because it's not good for me spiritually. And when someone comes and says, why don't you do that? Well, my church teaches it's wrong. How far is that going to get us in life? But when I recognize what the Bible teaches, and I recognize what holiness is, and I recognize that those things are distracting me. They're taking my mind off of the things the Lord wants me to stay focused on, so I'm going to put a blinder on. Doesn't mean I'm naive. It doesn't mean I'm ignorant. It doesn't mean I'm just don't have any wisdom. It doesn't mean that we're uneducated. It doesn't mean that we're stupid. You understand? It means that we made a decision personally that I'm not going to go there because it's a distraction. I'm not going to go there because every time I go, it has an influence that pulls me towards the world and it starts affecting my relationship with God. And so then I say, I'm not going to go there. And then I'm going to teach my children. These things are not good for these reasons. It's not to say that other people in the congregation that go there are sinning. Because, you know, there are some things that maybe I do that you don't do. And there might be some good reasons you don't do them. Again, we need to be careful about judging one another. But at the same time, to recognize we're going to have to draw some lines in our life when we follow Jesus, because He wants us to be holy. And if there are things that will distract us, then should we criticize someone who wants to be careful? No, the danger is when we say, it doesn't matter. We can do whatever we want, and I can still love the Lord. But I'll tell you, it will long-term start affecting our relationship with God. The Scripture says to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That means it's more than just something in the heart. That's the root of it. But He said, don't love things that are of the world. Things that will distract you from following the Lord. Those are just some practical things, Lord help us, to get hold of. There are distractions and things that the enemy will use to interfere in your relationship with God. And that's why all of us have to personally sit down sometimes and in our meditation with God, examine the things that are in our life and say, is there anything that's interfering in my relationship? Is there anything that's distracting or interfering? Remember Christian and Pilgrim's Progress when you just plugged his ears? You say, well, he needs to know everything about everything so he can make informed decisions. Do you know the reasons why the saints don't do certain things generally? And I've heard people say, saints don't go there, and I'm thinking, I know a lot of saints that do. I don't want to make general statements, saints don't do this and saints don't do that. But understand this, there are some reasons why there have been some practices among us why we don't go certain places and do certain things. And it's because there has been there's a process of learning that has taken place that when people start involving themselves too much in these things, it's detrimental to them spiritually. So that's why we choose not to. Well, we need to sometimes plug our ears the same way, because the world is calling. The world is pulling so strongly on us today. And it's not just on the young people. It is the influences of the world are stronger on all of us. But that means that our children and young people who have had less time to deepen down in the things of the Lord and deepen down in the knowledge of how things affect their life, there can be an ignorance there that the devil will take advantage of. And it's why we need to pray for our young people and pray for our children that God will keep them until they get their understanding open enough to see for themselves the danger of some of the things that we've warned about. We need to just plug our ears and say, life, life, eternal life. I'm following Jesus. And when I know this thing's a detriment, I just want to put the blinders on and plug my ears. And when the world says, well, you just need to go out and experience the things of the world, then make a decision. Folks, there are some things I don't have to experience this afternoon because the Bible says it's wrong. So I don't need to go experience it. I don't have to go experience telling a lie or committing adultery. And then I can make an informed decision of how I want to live. The Bible says it's wrong. So if you know the Bible teaches something, plug your ears, put the blinders on and say, life, life, eternal life. And when you start recognizing there's a interference in your relationship with God, stand up and be a man about it. I hope you sisters aren't offended by that. Scripture says, quit ye like men. God needs some men. He needs some women who will be strong spiritually, that are plugging their ears to the call of the world and following Jesus in holiness. It means we're going to look different, we're going to act different, we're going to be different, because Christ is in our heart and He's the forefront of our purpose in life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Scripture gives us some more instruction on what it means to follow the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll begin We're not going to read all of this, but to save a little time, verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. That, does that mean that we can have godliness without contentment? Wonder what that looks like. What does it look like to have godliness without contentment? Seems like that probably if we're living godly lives but we're not content, it probably means we need to put some blinders on and plug our ears and refix our purpose on the Lord. That we can learn to be content with the call of God. If this is the way the Lord has called us to live, and if you're always kicking against the pricks, always pushing the limits, always pushing the edge, you know, young people, if you do that with your parents, it makes life difficult for your parents. It makes it real difficult. Because if you're always pushing the limits, always pushing the edge, seeing how far you can go, how far you can push it before they just put down an ultimatum, you know, there's not a lot of contentment in doing that. But if you say, this is the way it is, this is the way mom and dad want it, I'm in their home, and this is the way they want it, then even if I don't see it, even if I don't agree with it, I know I am to submit to my parents, and I am under their authority and their leadership, and you know there's a place of contentment in that. I don't see it, and I really don't think, I think mom and dad just really don't get it right now, but you know what, I'm going to submit to that, and I'm going to accept that, because I'm under their roof, I'm not under my roof, I'm under their roof. Young people, when you live under your roof, you can make the decisions that you want. But when you're under mom and dad's roof, and they say this is how our household is going to go, then you submit to that. And when you do that as children and learn that submission to mom and dad, it makes it a whole lot easier with God. When you have learned to submit, I find children that don't learn to submit themselves to authority with mom and dad, teachers, on the job, they're going to have difficulty submitting with God. Godliness with contentment. In other words, a place of acceptance. Lord, I believe this is right. And I believe your way is right, and I'm going to follow you. So I want to relax in that. And I don't want to always be looking outside of the call of God to see what else is out there and what I'm missing out on. But I've got the best in life in following Jesus. He is truly the author and the finisher of our faith. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And then moving on down, verse 9, he said, they that will be rich fall into temptation. Now, he didn't say those that are rich, those that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in perdition. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they've erred from the faith. In other words, he's not saying money's wrong. And if you will allow me again, the saints of God, there ought to be no more responsible people in the workplace. There ought to be no more financially responsible people than the people of God. If we don't have a plan, then you're going to find yourself sitting on the couch. I believe in our work. I believe with education. I believe with our work. We get a plan. We have something that we're working for, something that we're doing. We have some plan, something we're working toward. Those things are good. But if we are being driven and motivated, coveting after the things of the world, that is going to distract us from the purpose that God has for us to fulfill in life. If we can recognize, some people say, well, this is the work of God over here, and this is my job over here, there's already a problem. If this is your job, then that is part of your work of God. Go work your job being an example for the Lord. The money you make on your job, let that be the Lord's money. The things that God has blessed you with, don't covet after the things of the world, but just say, Lord, I want to be a good steward. Help me to be a good steward of the things you've entrusted me with. So be careful. Lord, help us to be careful about the distractions and interference by the material things of this life. We have to have money to live. And you know, it doesn't make you holier to be poor. There are some people that get this mentality, well, I'm just poor for Jesus. No, you're poor because you're lazy, or you're poor because you're not working hard, or you're poor because, now maybe you're poor and you're working hard for the Lord. That's all right. But just because you're poor doesn't translate into holiness. You see the difference? I want us to understand that, because some say, well, I'm just poor for Jesus. Well, He didn't call us to poverty, and He didn't call us to riches. He called us to follow Him and be a good steward, whether it's with a little or with a lot. Be a good steward of it. Well, but if we start coveting after, whether we have it or not, see, covetousness is something of the heart. I want that, and I'm being consumed with it. How does it affect us spiritually? You see, people that are following after the things of the world, you see their service to God start to decline. You start to see their time and their money and their energy and their focus. They're so wrapped up with lawful things of the world that their spiritual walk with God suffers. So whose job is it to say how much is too much? That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will be faithful and diligent. He's done in my life many times. He came and tapped me on the shoulder, figuratively speaking, said, you be careful right here. You're getting too wrapped up or too consumed with lawful things. And the Lord had me back up a little bit. And then down the road He comes, and, all right, be careful again. You're starting to get, yes, Lord, help me to. Isn't that the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit to us? You can trust the Holy Spirit if you will follow the Lord this morning, this afternoon. He said to me, and then he went on to say, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Now, if we're following the Lord, this is what he told us to follow after. Follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Folks, we are in a battle for our souls today. All of us, we are in a battle. None of us have lived for the Lord long enough to let up. None of us have so much experience that we can just kind of float on the blessings of the past. We need to fight the fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. See, we've been called to this, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Isn't that it told us what to follow after? So this is kind of the litmus test in our choices in life. Is it righteous? Is it godly? Is it love? Is it patience? Is it meekness? Is it faith? And if it's not, plug your ears. Maybe recalibrate. You know, all of us need some spiritual recalibration sometimes. Every once in a while you have, and let me tell you something about calibrating. And I think Brianna or someone recently had mentioned something about scales, weighing scales and things. Do you know when you have a balance beam or balance scale that you're weighing something and you take your one kilogram or 1 gram piece and put it on one side and you're going to try to weigh it? We learned in school, I still distinctly remember, you never touch those weights. Never touch those weights. Because your oils will get on there. And through time, it will affect. And so it won't be properly calibrated. So you have like tweezer type things that you pick. Use the tweezers to pick up those weights to set on your balance. Don't touch it. Folks, we don't want to touch the standards of the Word of God. So we look at our life and say, I don't want to touch it. So Lord, is this thing righteous? You know what? Maybe I've meddled a little bit, and the Lord says, you need to recalibrate. And you know, there's no sin in needing to recalibrate, but sin comes when we fail to recalibrate. When the Lord in His faithfulness says, you need to make some adjustments, we say, thank you, Lord, for showing me that. There is a standard, folks, and it's a standard of righteousness. And if we measure according to the world, we're going to get off. But we are to measure to the Word of God is our fixed standard. I don't know if it's in Switzerland or Sweden, where it is. There is a set of measurements that is the official weight. That is what 1 kilogram is, and it's in a dust dust-free environment encased that nothing can touch it, and that is the main, that's what everything is calibrated to. Well, this is what we need to calibrate our lives to this afternoon. Before we close this afternoon, I would like, by the help of the Lord, to bring out one more scripture. Might be a good place to close after that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it goes along with the rest of this thought. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, he said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times would come." In other words, dangerous times would come. Men would be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and the list goes on. And then over in verse 4, he said, "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." Now, it means that maybe there is some love for God, but he said they love pleasures more than they love God. Having a form of godliness. In other words, they're wearing the uniform. They've got the equipment, but they're not doing their job. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We are living in a world that is catering to pleasure. Pleasure of the flesh, pleasure of the mind, pleasure of all kinds. And that's what's dictating people's decisions. And it is, the balance of this is that I don't believe the Lord wants us to live in a box and not enjoy life. I believe that we ought to be able to enjoy life more than anybody if you're following the Lord. I believe there ought to be more enjoyment by just doing wholesome, godly things, that there is pleasure in that and there's good. But he's talking about the pleasure of the world. And there is a balance here that, again, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to know the difference. But whenever you are doing something that you say, this is lawful, you can't tell me this is sin to go here. You can't tell me it's sin to go be involved in this activity. When you find that it is dictating, and really, it has a driving influence in your life, it's too much. The pleasures of this world are getting people's lives out of balance. That's one of the great dangers of the sports world. There's nothing wrong with going and having a friendly game of softball. There's nothing wrong with going out and enjoying yourself on the basketball court. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you get into organized sports, you will find very quickly there starts to be a driving force behind it. Well, then that's the reason why, okay, if this thing starts controlling what excites me, my time, my energy, my money, it's sports, sports, sports. What should that start telling me? Are you loving that more, loving God? How is it affecting the things God wants you to do, how He wants you to live? And so that's then what we begin to make choices and decisions in our lives, that this thing's starting to be too much. Well, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, and that means that we can abuse the good things that God has blessed us with. Is anything wrong with going fishing? No, actually, we haven't been for a long time. I told Ethan, I said, I don't know if I said Lord willing or not, but the Lord willing was on there tacitly. Lord willing, I want to take my family camping and fishing sometime this spring. It's been a while. Is anything wrong with that? No. But do you know if every weekend or every time I had any free time, it was fish, 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 then I didn't have time to do what God wanted me to do, didn't have time to, and pretty soon all, you know, fishing's not always cheap either. You think you just have a little, it's kind of have to get all those lures, and, you know, when you break them like I do, then you have to buy more, and, you know, all those things. If I begin to allow my life to be consumed with that, then something's wrong with it for me because I'm out of balance. Which means for any of us, and again, it's not for me to tell you in your life, but when we examine our life, there can be lawful things that still need to be in balance. What are we following after? I want to be a follower of Christ. And those that, again, going back to our social media example, those that follow us, may they see that our life is about following Christ. So when they look on you and say, well, We know where his heart is. You just have to follow him for a little bit and you know what makes him tick. Well, what's making us tick this afternoon? I want it to be that I'm answering the call to follow the Lord. Lord bless you all today. I know I expect that we would be done with this before now. There's more on this. I believe the Lord would have us continue with. But it's a good thing to follow the Lord. But let's keep our lives in check and keep them in balance, even in the lawful things, that we might live a holy life and be found acceptable when the Lord comes back for us. Amen.